This is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast, show number 13. Welcome back to the How to Not Suck at Money podcast. I am your host, Devon Jarvis, and this is the show where you come to get smart about your money and your finances, and that's what I'm going to try to help you to do today. Now, folks, doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're young or old, the best time to get started was yesterday. The second best time to get started is today. So with that said, let's get into how to get you a little bit smarter with your finances. Today, we'll be talking about the FIRE movement and what exactly it is. Now, unless you've been stuck under a rock for the last few years, you probably know what the FIRE movement is. But today, I'm going to explain a little bit more about what it is, and you can decide if that is something that you would be interested in that you would want to do for yourself. So the word FIRE is an acronym, and it stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And according to Investopedia, the definition of FIRE is financial independence is a movement of people devoted to a program of extreme savings and investments that aims to allow them to retire far earlier than the traditional budget and retirement plans would permit. So the FIRE movement really came out of the 1992 best-selling book Your Money or Your Life by Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. And it really came to embody a core premise from the book that everyone should evaluate their expenses in very detail and really come up with a number of working hours that it would take to pay for it. So simply put, that means that if you evaluate your expenses at $1,000 a week, how many hours did you have to work to cover your expenses at $1,000 a week? The FIRE movement is really taking direct aim at the conventional wisdom that you need to work until you're 65 and that should be the age that you plan to retire. And it's pretty much saying, hey, figure out what your number is, what your expenses are, how much time you have to take to cover that, and then multiply your annual expenses times 25, which is a typical number they use, either 25 or 30. So you'll multiply your annual expenses times 25, and that will be your financial independence number. Now, the goal is to be able to save up enough money to be able to cover your annual expenses. So the proponents of the FIRE movement are aggressively saving throughout time. So they're saving 70% or even more of their income to be able to reach that financial independence number. Once they reach that number, this now gives them the ability to retire and leave their job. Well, once they leave their job, the plan would be for them to make small withdrawals over time, typically in the amount of 3-4% of the balance that they've saved up on an annual basis. The withdrawal rate will be dependent on the type of lifestyle that they're trying to live and how much they really want to be able to spend. But generally, it's that 3-4% of their total invested amount. Obviously, in order to do this, this requires laser focus, and you have to really be paying attention of your finances, where every dollar is going, and really being diligent to make sure you're not making huge financial purchases or anything like that that does not go in line with your overall goals. So many proponents of FIRE really rely on retiring well before the age of 65. So there's tons of people out there that have either blogs or YouTube videos or have written books about retiring in their 30s or 40s. So it really all depends on when you hit that number that will give you the financial independence. So how do you get there? You figure out, like I said, what your expenses are, what your savings rate is going to be, what kind of annual return you're going to be expecting on that, and then when you plan to retire, and then that lets you know how long you need to work or whether you need to increase your savings rate, push the time out that you're going to work longer, or even getting a better return on your investment, which means being a little bit more aggressive. Not necessarily what they might want to do, since it can increase the risk, and then if anything goes wrong, then they would have to delay that time frame in which they plan to retire. So typically, proponents of FIRE are really being very aggressive in their savings, they're cutting expenses, and they're simplifying their lifestyle pretty much to the point where they're not doing a whole lot of extra things that they don't need and or find value, and then they're investing in assets that will be able to cover their expenses. Once you've reached financial independence, you no longer require and or rely on a job to pay you, and work now becomes optional. So something you do for enjoyment or for fun, and they can use this time to give back to the community, get involved in any causes or anything that is meaningful to them. Depending on the source that you find out there, there's at least five different types of fire. And the first type of fire is just called regular fire. So that's where you're not scrimping too much. You are being aggressive with your saving, but you like the lifestyle that you have. And you're basically just saving up enough money to meet your current lifestyle when you retire. So you're putting your money in assets that can pay for the current lifestyle that you have and that you enjoy. The next type of fire is lean fire. So this is where you might be able to formulate a bit of a guess how this is going to differentiate from the regular fire, but I'll cover it a little bit. The best way to think of this type of fire is that you're on a much tighter budget. So the goal here is that you're living on much less than you typically would or what the average person has in expenses. You might be living more of a minimalist lifestyle, so some people do that, but being frugal is going to be a big part of your life. Additionally, you will have to become a master at managing your expenses, keeping your costs down, and basically just finding ways to simplify your lifestyle without completely compromising your comfort. For people interested in lean fire, you'll be aiming to retire and live with typically under $40,000 a year. And this is commonly found on the Reddit community that has a ton of Lean Fire participants in there. So there's some great threads and information in there that can help you on the path to Lean Fire if that's what you're interested in. Now, Fat Fire. So if Lean Fire is about cutting costs and minimizing living expenses, then Fat Fire must be the opposite, right? And in a way it is, yes. So Fat Fire is for people who want to reach early retirement, but will have much larger yearly budgets and or higher expenses. So instead of living with under $40,000 a year or being more of a modest range for traditional FIRE, you'll be looking at living expenses of roughly $100,000 or more. Now, typically $100,000 is just a benchmark, but there are people in Fat FIRE that are trying to live on multiple times that. So $100,000 is kind of like the minimum, but that can go well into the multiple of hundreds of thousand dollars. So many in this category are high income earners and have more income and disposable income than the average person. So I kind of look at this as like the FIRE on steroids, where you can reach financial independence, but also live a little bit more of a luxurious lifestyle. So after doing some digging around on the web, it seems like the average household expenses range from roughly $50,000 to $60,000 a year. So many who are considered Fat FIRE are pursuing, it will be spending potentially two times more than the average person. If you think Fat FIRE is more your thing versus the Lean FIRE, you can also find some really active posts on Reddit. So there'll be other people out there that enjoy this type of FIRE. As the FIRE movement kind of progressed throughout the years, they started adding different types of FIRE. So it went from regular lean to fat. And then there's some people that kind of fall into another type of category of FIRE, which is called barista FIRE. So barista FIRE is about saving enough so that you only need to make a little bit of income each year from work. So you'll have other investments that'll be bringing in the majority of the income, and then you'll work part-time and pull a little bit of a paycheck from there. So it's almost like part-time FIRE, and this eliminates the need for people to work full-time. So no more than 40 hours a week. So some of these folks, you know, typically 20, 30 hours a week. Additionally, I've seen others discuss barista FIRE and that add that you are withdrawing money from your portfolio, but then supplementing it, like I said, from that part-time income. So instead of the corporate work environment, you can work at a coffee shop or take part in something that you might enjoy, flexible time, flexible hours, but the pay really isn't that much. The advantage of barista FIRE is not working yourself to death, and you can obtain some level of financial independence faster and potentially, you know, getting out of that rat race and getting out of that job that you might not have enjoyed and you've been putting a lot of hours into. The other way barista FIRE is used is kind of for people that kind of want to test out the early retirement thing. So they may go to a part-time job, stop their full-time job, kind of see if, you know, it's something that they might be able to enjoy. And it lets them explore more of their passion, side hustles, and find something that they might love to do when they quit their full-time work. But maybe they're just not ready to stay home or play golf all day just quite yet. And the last type of FIRE, which I really didn't know about until recently, is called Coast FIRE. So this really is the type of fire where it's kind of similar to barista fire, but there's some differences. So closed fire is about having enough money invested at an early age so you no longer need to invest because of the power of compounding will then cover your lifestyle later on in the future. So you'll need to do some math to figure this out and how much you have saved and invested before you can actually stop saving. So what you need to do here is see how much money you've already saved and figure out your expenses. In order to reach financially independent, your number should be, like I mentioned before, 25 times your yearly expenses. Then calculate a conservative investment return for compounding interest. And obviously, this is all based on like stock market, right? If you have a 5 to 6% return, and you'll need to see how many years it will take without adding a single dime more to reach the number that will be your financial independence number, which is your yearly expenses times 25. If it's a longer horizon, you can save and invest more aggressively a bit longer so that you can shave off some time. So an example of this would be, let's say you make $30,000. Let's say your expenses are $30,000 a year and you already have $100,000 invested. So we would take 30,000, which is your expenses, multiply that by 25, and that would be $750,000. So that would be your financial independence number. That's the number you're trying to shoot for. So if we use about a 6% return based on those numbers, it would take just about 36 years for you to reach your financial independence number, which is $750,000. But if you had $200,000 already saved and invested today, it would only take about 25 years, and you would shave 11 years off that time to reach your financial independence number. So yeah, definitely not easy. So the advantage of closed fire is really if you start earlier on and you start putting a ton of money away pretty much as soon as you start working. So early into your 20s and your 30s. So now over those years, while you have stopped investing money, you're basically waiting with the power of compounding for your investment to coast to your financial independence number. But for today, you will still be working to cover your current living expenses. Now that you only earn enough money to cover your expenses, since saving and investing are no longer a factor. So that means that you can downgrade in jobs or be able to make less money than you needed to in the very beginning. Obviously, this would give you a little bit more flexibility so you can, you know, live a stress-free life more or less and picking a type of job, like I said before, which would be more meaningful to you. So there are the different types of fire. Which one do you think works for you, if any at all? There are some downsides with fire. If your numbers aren't right or there is any kind of downturn in the economy and your portfolio drops, then you might have to adjust what you're pulling out as far as 4% to cover your expenses. So last year, especially during the pandemic, a lot of folks saw their investments cut by at least a third. And, you know, some people panicked, some people tried to get back to work. And obviously, that was a little more difficult. And those that actually did the best were those that, you know, stood fast, kept their money in the market, and then it was able to recover after that. So the other downside of fire is when you're actually done working and you no longer have to go to work, you know, you start to lose that connection with the people that you would have worked with, you know, so you're not able to have those connections because work is kind of a built-in place for you to meet people. So you have to really be diligent about trying to find different social networks, different groups, and get involved and other things so that you do have that connection. And lastly, I would say, obviously, if you were to just retire and just spend the time at home on the couch just watching Netflix and chill, that can get pretty boring pretty fast, and then you could just see your life and everything just kind of go right by. So just because you retire doesn't mean that there is not something that you can do that's meaningful. So for you, whether it's traveling or volunteering or getting involved and active in, if you have kids, maybe coaching, doing different things like that. So what you definitely don't want to do is just kind of sit on the couch and not really do anything all day. Got to get out there, keep the brain sharp, and still be what I like to say, a productive member of society by contributing somehow to not only society, but your overall mental well-being. So with that being said, if fire is something you're interested in, like I said, there's a ton of communities within Reddit that you can check out for these different types of fire and people you can connect with if it's something that you're interested in. For me personally, I don't really think fire is for me. I also don't like to put as much money in the stock market for you guys that has listened to me prior. No, I'm a little bit more of a real estate guy, and 4% withdrawal rate is just so low. I need to be able to withdraw more money than that. So with that being said, I hope you found this information useful. Maybe some things you can look at now if you've never heard of the fire movement, or maybe now you understand it a little bit better. So go ahead and leave me a rating, comment. If you like more information like this, I'll be pushing it out once a week, every Monday. Take care, be safe, and I'll talk to you guys soon. We'll be right back.